And I'm sitting here with Frank Hildrup.
Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm. Again, our NTSB guest for the day. We've been talking to you guys all week long. So what do you do for the board?
I've been with the board about 22 years, and I have been an investigator, mostly working on the larger air transport accidents. Started out working some of the engineering specialists, and then moved into investigator in charge position for about 7 years, and then a couple of years ago moved into another position as an international aviation advisor. And that involves, we get that question even from our own people a lot. What do you do?
That's an interesting thing to know.
Yeah. Well, it's, and the answer is a lot of little different things. But primarily, we our mission, as there's myself and another gentleman I work for, our mission really is to make sure that our folks and the folks that we work with around the world on accident investigations, that goes off as cleanly as possible, and that we have harmonized our procedures and our protocols a lot.
Okay. And what kind of background do you have that got you into that?
I have an aerospace engineering degree from Virginia Tech. I won't tell you when I graduated. It was a long time ago, but a private pilot's license.
And as far as your interest in the international portion of things, is there a particular drive to that?
A little bit, I guess. I mean, it primarily it came from actually working at the safety board. I don't know that people realize how much international activity that we have. And as an investigator at the NTSB, especially in Washington, D.C., where we do tend to work, what people realize is the GO teams, the large teams that we send out. Those same specialists a lot of times get sent out on large airplane crashes that occur around the world. Our field offices also go out on accidents that occur around the world, but they are typically more of the general aviation type of accidents. And the reason that we do that is under international protocols, we will participate in foreign investigations. We will assist them, but we don't run those if it's a U.S. manufactured airplane or if a U.S. airline. American Airlines had a runway overrun in Jamaica 2 years ago. Very involved in that when we were.
I imagine there are a great deal of U.S. manufactured airplanes flying in general aviation in international.
That is correct, too. I would say, let me start with the big ones. Last year, we had only one major GO team launch on domestic accidents, U.S. accidents. We had 9 launches of some NTSB personnel overseas last year. From a GA, more of a GA standpoint, we get probably 10 to 15 notifications per week from overseas authorities, accident investigation authorities, mm-hmm. notifying us and in many cases asking for assistance. And that doesn't mean in every case that we travel.
I was just going to ask, do you sometimes just provide information?
Absolutely.
In this digital age, you know, here's just get a correspondence going back and forth, sort of.
Absolutely.
And distance consulting.
Exactly. And that by far, we have much more of that type of assistance than we do traveling.
Not as exciting for the job.
But that's how I got into the international stuff. But most of the folks that work, again, especially in the headquarters office, will go out when something happens. As we had a team launch this morning to Guyana on a 737 landing overrun. And we had a team launch 2 days ago to Korea.
Okay.
So we've had two. The one in Korea was a very unfortunate event, an in-flight fire on a 747 cargo, and that crashed in the water. So we had some calls this morning. We're very involved in that, and a big part of this, obviously, we want to make sure that airworthiness concerns on our U.S. manufactured products are addressed, that we understand them, because we, the FAA and the manufacturers, need to make sure they take care of those issues. But we also provide, we've been doing this a long time. We have most of the activity in the United States more so than anywhere else. So we have a lot of experience, unfortunately, doing investigations. And so we bring that assistance to other countries as well.
Okay. And that leads me to a couple of questions. Well, one, I was going to ask, you know, is there sort of a difference. Obviously, the authorities are receptive to the input, or they wouldn't be asking for help or allowing. But do you see differences depending on the country and how involved they really want you to be?
That's a very good question.
Just in general. And the second question, just so I don't forget it, is your rules and procedures in each country, can vary greatly, as well as terrain and different things. And how how do those disparities play into your investigative process?
You've been doing your homework, I can tell. That is a great question. And that's a big part of what I do as an advisor, is to try to do a lot of background work with countries. And let me step back for a minute. There's something called ICAO, International Civil Aviation Organization. And back in the late 40s, there was mid-40s, there was a convention in Chicago of a lot of international organizations, and basically realizing that in order to travel between countries, there needs to be some harmonization of the rules and the standards. So that's how this came about. And then a few years later, they realized that we need some standards also with accident investigation. But as you alluded to, each country has their own sovereign rules. They have different political systems. They have different judicial systems, and it's that presents a lot of challenges sometimes.
And even so, the social systems can probably play
everything.
Into that.
And in fact, if folks remember, there was an accident a couple years ago in Brazil where there was a mid-air collision, and there were some issues about
the
criminalization aspects, which is something that we luckily don't see in this country. We have a lot of litigation from a civil standpoint, but we don't see the criminalization. And that's an issue that we run into sometimes. There are issues with openness to the investigation, how open authorities are to release information, to publish information, how freely they share things. And obviously, we have certain countries that we have more overall difficulty working with sometimes, but we work with the State Department. All of those things come into play.
What about even just preservation of the accident site until the investigation can be appropriately conducted before it's cleared? I mean, yep.
Security is a big issue. We try to work as we go throughout the year. We have conferences that we work with sometimes. We want to try to reiterate some of these same issues that we see. And site security is important to make sure that we preserve things. We have had literally accidents where by the time we get there, many of the parts, there are people crawling, civilians crawling over the wreckage.
Right.
Taking souvenirs.
Exactly.
Taking
forensic
piece of aluminum
evidence.
For their use. And
so make a great seat for the living room.
It would be great, yeah, and we see that sometimes. But that's really an issue really for the host country, and it is up to the host country, the state, the country of occurrence, to do the investigation. So we're there to assist but not to lead.
So, I mean, that I'm sure can impede your process and limit the ability to provide that assistance.
Yeah.
In some instances.
It does. I mean,
facilitate
right,
that ability.
Absolutely, and you don't know what's important, and that's why we treat almost any accident scene in general as everything is important. Let's document everything we can. Let's collect everything we can, and then we can start backing off of that. But again, in countries that don't have the infrastructure, they don't have the security, they may not even have the radar equipage mm-hmm. to allow us to understand what was the tracking of the aircraft, what were the airport services, fire and rescue. We run into all of those issues, and you alluded to terrain as well.
Or even just a difference in investigative equipment available. I mean, imagine you can't fly over everything that would be nice to have.
Absolutely.
So you kind of have to maybe make something, MacGyver up some stuff once in a while.
That's a good reference. I'll have to take that one back. I will say that I think that for the most part, what we bring is our knowledge and our experience. And typically when we need hardware or heavy machinery, obviously we have to get that locally, and we can rely on the host country and the host government and sometimes our State Department to help out. But the other thing is we provide our facilities back home, our labs.
The analysis. Yeah, I was just going to ask that. Mm-hmm. The analysis
And our recorder labs. And in fact, those are almost always available, but certainly on to host countries that have an accident. But when it involves a U.S. product, we certainly want to make sure that we get that information as quickly as possible in concert with a foreign authority. So we make our labs available for the recorder readouts, just like we are in two events that are occurring right now overseas.
And we spoke with someone earlier this week. I apologize, I can't remember his name, that had something to do with the International Division as well.
Mr. McIntosh.
That probably was the
How
one.
Did you forget him?
I didn't forget him. Just the names start to blur after a while. One of the same things I asked him, what about the flip side? There's our presence in other countries, and what about, international flight, non-domestic, let's just say non-domestic carriers that have problems here. Okay, so okay. A crash or an incident or a mishap. I liked that word, mishap.
Mishap, yeah. Well, I mean, there's two elements to that. And again, another good question, because certainly a lot of aircraft operate here. A lot of foreign operators operate into our country. If something happens here, that would be under our domain here in the United States, would be our investigation, and we would allow participation from those other countries that are involved. For instance, if Aer Lingus had an event in Boston or something like that, the Irish authorities would participate because their operator was involved in the event, or if it's a foreign manufactured airplane. A lot more Airbus over the last 20 years operate into this country than there used to be. If everybody remembers the miracle on the Hudson,
I think people remember
I
that.
I think they remember that. A happy ending, which is always nice. And that was an Airbus product. So we had a lot of participation from the French. The French are the basically the state of the TC holder, type certificate holder. So they have responsibility for the Airbus products. A lot of French assistance that we received on that. Eurocopter. All that's the international protocols that we operate under. So even a domestic accident for us in the United States can have some foreign participation, and nowadays quite often does. Most of the regional jets that fly nowadays are either Bombardier or Embraer.
Well, that then also leads to another question. It's a good thing, because that's what we do here.
How much time do we have?
But the NTSB is in charge of the investigative process. You know, a lot of people very much know this is, you know, the NTSB decides what happens. But your other portion is the recommendations for what to do. So how does that work? I mean, you're there to assist. Do you also, you know, offer some recommendations to some of the other international authorities, or maybe perhaps learn something internationally that hasn't happened in the U.S. that would be nice if we don't have to have it recreated here in order to make that recommendation?
Absolutely. And what we do, it's the host country's investigation. But if we see something, for instance, on an American product, and again, Boeing is the one that comes to mind most often on a Boeing product, we will work with the foreign authority, and typically we're in lockstep with them. They understand where we're going for and what we're going after, and they will sometimes they'll issue recommendations at the same time. But we will not, even though it's their investigation, if we see the need to make recommendations, we do that. And as you say, that assists them with their investigation, assists global safety, and it also makes sure that we are addressing those safety issues here before they could happen here.
May not carry the same weight as far as a recommendation goes. It's up to those authorities, I'm sure, too.
Does, but if we issue the recommendation, our board, who adopts our recommendations, who votes on them and approves them, that we do on our own accidents, that adoption process if we're issuing those recommendations.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I think we are just about out of time. So is there anything else that you wanted to share before we...
No, not really. It's just this is my first time here, and it's just it's been a blast.
Yeah, there are a lot of you that I'm hearing, you board people.
Uh-huh.
The NTSB that are saying that the first time here, we had Debbie Hersman in here, and it was her first time here
First time, yes. I mean,
Final first impressions?
It's been fantastic. I mean, I think the passion and the enthusiasm that you see here is just overwhelming. It's something I'll carry back. I brought one of my sons with me. He's had a fantastic time.
And is this your last time here?
I hope not. So maybe I'll talk to you next
year. Usually people who come here once have to, it's the gateway experience.
Well, I think a lot of us, in fact, there's a lot of us here that have come that aren't working. They're here just to enjoy the grounds.
That's the way
maybe
to do
what
it.
I'll do next year.
That would be the way to do it. So thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
This is Frank Hildrup with the NTSB National Transportation Safety Board.